thing as his own personality, then this means that since the point or goal of everything is the relationships and the taste and affection that is expressed, then this means that for performing all the various functions throughout the universe, then Krishna expands. And these expansions are complete in themselves. So they're fully conscious, they have their own personality. So technically he's interacting with the self in everything, but at the same time is, because of his nature of consciousness, then all his expansions are also fully conscious, and therefore able, like him, to relate as an individual and interact. So now to perform these interactions, then there's the whole purpose of the interaction, which is, as we mentioned, to taste the happiness gained from personal interactive action. But to do that, you have to have situations, activities that then match that desire, and you have to have the proper attitude. Proper attitude. So, therefore, since everything is functioning on this, these three must be therefore controlled. Otherwise, there won't be a consistency in experience. So, to generate that, so he sees Krishna as Satchidananda. And so then, that means these three features, the existence of something, the knowledge and the practical knowledge being applied in interaction in the situation, and the happiness gained from that. These three aspects have to always be represented. Though, when they're functioning, you don't make the distinction, but still they have to be organized. So then, in this, then, the influence that will be there on the situations, why the situations will go, then this is taken care of by Krishna's three energies, the Icha, Kriya, and Jnana Shaktis. So then Krishna, because it's the totality of everything is about Krishna's pleasure, so that means he's the lord of the Icha Shakti, or the desire Shakti. And that desire then is, in the principle of Ananda and his Ladini potency. So then to generate the situation, so this means all of Krishna's associates, their relationships with him, the paraphernalia, all the tam, everything that actually is directly interacted with, that's all coming out of the Icha Shakti, because that's what Krishna himself personally is dealing with. So that's where his pleasure comes. Then you have to have how, what are the activities of these associates? How does the dham work? How does the interaction with everything work? What's the mechanics of that? Right? Because it's not just that you have individuals. What's the method by which they interact? How do you define that? Because if each person is interacting in a different way, how you'll have relations. So there has to be standard of what is interaction. So that is taken care of by Balaram through the, Kriya Shakti, which means is functioning on, is influencing the Samvit potency, which is the position of knowledge. So that then generates how things are done. What is the mechanics of relationships, how they function, how they unfold, how they progress? That way Krishna can just focus himself, he can just focus on the actual interaction itself. He doesn't have to worry about the mechanics, that's taken care of by Balaram. So he just enjoys working with. And so then, but at the same time as you have the situation, you have the mechanics, but the whole, the a central crux of that is, well, what's the attitude? What's the purpose of it? right? What's your intent? Because you can have the same situation and different persons will approach it in different way because they have a different attitude. So then this attitude, that's controlled by Vasudev. So that means then, what is the mood of sweetness in the spiritual world, the mode of majesty, that mix of that, what is all these different attitudes that the devotees may have in the performance of their activities to please Krishna. So then these three features, okay, so that will be the jnana shakti, you know, which is functioning in the position of chit, or eternality. So this will then, this combination then makes for a complete interaction. Relationship is complete with these three. Otherwise, if we just have the attitude, don't know what to do, or don't know what the goal is, or you know what the mechanics are, don't have the right attitude, or don't know what's the goal, or you have the goal, but you don't know what to do, or what the attitude is, it won't function. The three have to function together. So then, you'll always see these three are always present. They're always there. They're always taken care of. So whenever Krishna has his pastimes, these aspects are there. Now, whether they're more manifest or less manifest, that's another thing. Just like in Braj, you'll see Krishna, you see Balaram, but you won't see this aspect of Sadashiv. He's there because what you do see is his wife, Yogamaya, right? His Purnamasi. So she's taking care of all the arrangements and all that. But you don't see Shiva himself so much. He's there, he's part of the scene. But he's not a major player. So in Goloka, you won't see him so much. But when you get into the pastimes with Lord Chaitanya, this is then where you see very clearly the three Prabhus are all there. Lord Chaitanya is there, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaitacharya. So then, naturally in the pastimes, which is fun for the Lord, is even though he's the supreme, he likes to take the junior position. So that's why Lord Chaitanya is the youngest of the three, then Nityananda, and then Advaita is the senior most. So it gives a taste, it gives a flavor, because as you go out, each one becomes a little bit more formal. And so then formality has a taste when there's seniority. Does this make sense? Like that. Because then it's about you, right? If the person's senior, they deal with you, right? If you're the senior, you have to deal with everybody else. So then Advaitacharya then is that position. So he's the one establishes the flavor, the mood in which one approaches Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So by his grace, you have the right attitude, then Lord Nityananda will be very pleased. We will be able to give up our attachment to the material energy. Then we'll be able to serve Lord Chaitanya in that pure devotion. Right? So this proper attitude then for us in our position, when we're dealing with the jnana shakti, then is the aspect of we're servant of the Lord. Right? Not I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, but I'm the servant. So if we have the aspect of I'm the servant, then that's when Lord Nityananda Prabhu will be pleased. Right? As long as we don't have that attitude of I am servant, then how will we engage in the mechanics of devotional service properly? Because if you engage in the mechanics, you'll get the wrong result. Does that make sense? Many times we don't separate this. Let's say I'm cooking, okay? The cooking process is going to be the same. Now, what am I going to get? Now, if I have the attitude I'm serving Krishna, now when I cook, what am I going to get? I'm going to get bhoga for the offering to Krishna. So I'll get devotion. Let's say a materialist is cooking the same preparation, same technique, same skill, right? Same utensils. What are they going to get? They're going to get something for their own enjoyment. So in other words, one is going to elevate you. What's going to be pleasing to Krishna, free you from attachment to the material world and elevate you. The other one's going to not please Krishna. It's going to contaminate you and degrade you. You understand? So if you don't have the attitude right, the mechanics don't do their work, you get a result, physical result you can see, but it's not about the physical result, it's about what effect that physical result has, what experience it generates. That's why sometimes when we do something, we do it perfectly. But if the attitude is wrong, we actually don't get a very good result. Okay. Right? We don't get a very good result. It means physically the result is there, but no one's pleased by it. It didn't actually generate what we thought it would. Right? So that's the difficulty that comes up, is without the proper attitude, the other points don't actually work out. We just think, no, it's just, I'm just doing to please Krishna, that's all that matters. Yes, on the simplest platform it does. Whether one does nicely or not, if that simplicity is there, that innocence is there, it'll work out. Like children, they'll do so many things, we say it's nice. They see a goal, that personal relationship, but they don't know the mechanics, they don't know anything else. It works nicely. Right? So they have a good attitude, they see the goal, the mechanics aren't very good. Well, the modern, it's all about the mechanics. Right? It's all about how good you are at your skill and everything. It's all skill-based, so that you can get your goal, but then what's your goal? What is the goal of modern society? 100% sense gratification. Though they probably only get about 5% sense gratification, but the goal is 100%, you know. Keep your goals high, maybe you'll get there, you know, that kind of thing. So, the problem is, though, is that the attitude is totally wrong. And because if the attitude is wrong, the result, the effect it has is totally wrong. Those skills they're very expert at. They're very sophisticated. Much of the time it's thought that if I'm sophisticated, it must be cultured. But actually, sophistication just means, what is your ability in the skill? Culture is what is your attitude and what you're going to do with the results. That's actually culture. So this is a misnomer in the modern scenarios. We think that if someone's sophisticated, they must be cultured. And if someone's unsophisticated, they can't be cultured. Right? And then the fun part is then the Western culture defines what's sophistication. Right? You know, how you eat with a fork and knife, what kind of, you know, alcohol you drink with the meal. You understand? It's not that there's necessarily a universal standard here. They make up the sophistication. If no one matches it, then they're out of it. Right? You know, standard, you know, high school stuff like that. You know, it's just like people never grow up. So that's the difficulty, is that the sophistication actually is in what's your attitude, what's your goal. Then according to your ability, then the technique will be more mechanically sophisticated or not. But if the attitude is right, the goal will come out properly. Therefore, the Vedic culture, so much emphasis is put on what is the character, what is the attitude, what is the goal. But unfortunately, in the modern scenario, if you talk about that, people go, okay, that's nice, but what about substance? What about reality? What about practicality? You know, let's get real here, which means the skill and the sophistication of the skill. So we understand why modern culture, you can't actually get any taste out of it? Because they don't have the basis to generate taste. Taste is in the experience of the final result. And that's based on what your attitude is. So since the modern approach doesn't deal with that, or doesn't deal with it properly, therefore, no matter how much anyone tries, no one's getting any satisfaction. So that's the whole thing. Even in the Vedic, the smartest, they follow the technique properly, but they don't have the proper attitude. Right? It's just about what they're going to get. It's not about pleasing the Lord or things like that. So they also end up very dry. Right? It's formally dry. Well, the modern is whimsically dry. Right? It has a little more variety, but emotionally it's just as dry. Or at least as shallow. Right? So the point is by the grace of Advaitacharya, then we can actually understand our position, who we are, what's the proper attitude. And with that proper attitude, then if we apply that in our devotional service, then by the grace of Lord Nityananda, we'll be able to give up those material attachments that we have and see everything connected to Krishna. Right? Then we'll gain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and develop love for Krishna. Right? So that's what we're trying to do. So we have to see as this is an important aspect, very, very important aspect, that many times we're not thinking about. Right? It's just we'll do the activity, we'll get the result, and basically that's how it'll work. But this is why it's working. What's going on? What is functioning? So that's why we see is that they will take Advaitacharya as the senior most. He establishes the opinion. He establishes the standard because he establishes the proper attitude. With that, the other two will be successful. So therefore, in this way, from our side, he's the senior most. Though we know in position, Lord Chaitanya is the senior. Then Nityananda, then Advaita. But actually in our developing love for God, it works the other way. Right? And since it's about love, which means pastimes, therefore in the pastimes, Advaitacharya is the eldest. Right? Then, yeah. Then in another aspect, then Advaitacharya is the formal aspect of the Lord, because he's Vasudev, this aspect, right, when we're talking about Ichakriya and Jnana. So it's from Vasudev, then we're expanding this whole principle, because from there you expand into Vaikuntha, you know, from Mahanarayan, then you get the Chaturvyuha, then you get Krishna, Balaram, Prajumna, Nandiruddha, and Dwarka. Then Balaram will expand, you'll get in Vaikuntha. So you'll get that line. But the other line will be that of the mood of I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. So that mood is there in Balaram, because he's the origin of it. Because Krishna is just, he's the enjoyer. But being the Supreme Lord, there is this aspect of creating, maintaining, and destroying. So that is there in Balaram, but it's not manifested to except in Vasudev. So then he expands as the Purusha avatar, Karana Dakshai Vishnu. Then you have the supersoul of the material creation. Then he expands as Garbha Dakshai Vishnu, who's the supersoul of the universe, who expands as Kiradakshai Vishnu, who's the supersoul of every living entity. So this aspect of supersoul, then that is taking the position of God. Because that means you're formally here, you're the boss, it's your rules, everything functions under your direction. So then in that aspect, then Krishna can just give the opportunities to the living entity. Create the situations where you could become God-conscious or take an interest in God-conscious. But, as Krishna said, he's interactive. So as you surrender, he responds. You don't interact, he can't. How does he respond? He's presenting everything. That's the masculine principle. You create the environment. But then how the feminine responds to that, that's how you deal. Right? That's the whole thing. You initiate the process, but the process will continue or unfold depending upon how the feminine will respond. Depending on that mood, that's then how the masculine then continues the interaction. Not this idea is, I started like this, I continue like this. No, that's just to start it. Right? It's just like a machine. You push the button, you started it, and now how it responds after you push the machine, that's what you deal. This is how Krishna works. This is how the masculine feminine principle works. So then Advaitacharya being in that masculine position with all the living entities who are his parts and parcels in the feminine, then he started it. He's made the creation. He's given all the opportunities that we can take up Krishna consciousness. But if we don't take it up, then what's the next step? How does the masculine respond? What do you do? Therefore, Advaitacharya, then, in the famous pastime, then he calls Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya is the form of the Lord, in which he is the supreme, but he's not maintaining that attitude of the supreme, which is, I'll only interact how they respond. The feminine nature is that it doesn't matter, you just respond. Does that make sense? Like that. It doesn't, you just keep going with it. So, therefore, Lord Chaitanya, being in that mood as the devotee, then you can preach. People aren't interested in God consciousness, but you can preach. Well, Lord Vishnu has already arranged everything. He's already making that step, but we're not taking it. So that's then the aspect there. So Advaitacharya then, the process will work if we are interested. So therefore, how do we're not taking up the attitude. How will we take up the attitude? By the preaching of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Therefore, then, now we see the importance of the attitude in Krishna consciousness. Now we can take shelter of Advaitacharya. He can respond. Then from that, getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda and then the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we see it's always interacted. These three aspects are always there. You don't have one without the other. But it's just a matter of where it starts. If you start from the one end, go to the other, great. Otherwise, you have to start from the other end, come back, and then it goes back. That's the perfection of bhakti. It doesn't matter what the situation, bhakti always has a method to deal. On other formulas, you know, that we make up, then it has to be perfect and work in a certain way, then it works out, right? The mood is right, the modes of nature are correct, people use a certain formula, and it works like a charm. But after some time, the modes change, the attitudes change, the formula doesn't work anymore. So then somebody has to come up with a new formula. And, oh, now this is the latest and the greatest, isn't it? But bhakti, because it's working on the eternal formulas, and it's independent, therefore it always works. It always functions. So that's the glory. So then having come in contact with the devotees, understanding and appreciating devotional service, now one can take advantage of Advaitacharya's mercy. By his mercy, then he's also known as Sadashiva, which is because on that platform, Sadashiva is the aspect of the Lord that I am the destroyer. I'm the creator, is Hiranyagarbha. I'm the maintainer, that's Vishnu. I'm the destroyer, that's Sadashiva. Right? Then you come into the universe, you have the demigod that then takes care of the destruction of the universe. The Sadashiva is actually non-different from Vishnu, but he's in the mood of a devotee. Yeah? Does that make sense? So then, he then is in charge of the false ego. So if you have the attitude that I want to give up the false ego, it's by his grace that you can. Then you can take advantage of the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Because otherwise, if we have attitude, Lord Nityananda doesn't respond very well. But if you have that humility, then he responds very nicely. So by Advaitacharya's influence, then we can give up the false ego that gets in the way. And then by giving up the false ego, then we'll have the proper attitude, as we mentioned. Then we can perform the activities of devotional service properly, and that result then will be for Krishna's satisfaction, for his happiness. Does this make sense? Yes. Yeah. Right. Right.
The attitude is off.
Yes.
You can see the same scenario happening also today. So how can we safeguard against this? Because oftentimes it seems that certain groups of personalities, especially Brahmins, they're very independent and they may
only respond to God, but that relationship is not always evident.
Okay.
So where does the correction of the attitude come in?
Where does the correction of the attitude? Okay, so one has knowledge, brahminical knowledge, but if there's pride along with it, then it doesn't give the nice result, right? So how to correct that? So the basic thing is to understand what is knowledge. So are we knowledge, right? So since it seems that we have to make an endeavor to gain something that's outside of ourselves here, so that means this knowledge is not controlled by us. And so that's controlled by Krishna. Why? Because knowledge is one of his energies. So that means the knowledge is feminine, right? So then the thing what happens is we gain knowledge. And then because we have this feminine aspect, then the masculine aspect comes up of the pride that I'm the controller and enjoyer. I'm the controller of knowledge and I enjoy having this knowledge and enjoy what I can do with this knowledge. So then that will always end up in a mundane position. Though if you're basing, if it's brahminical, it's based on the Vedas and all that, it's still glorious compared to the ordinary person because at least they've gone through the austerity of studying the Veda. They have faith in the Veda. They have faith in the Supreme. So from one angle, so many nice points are there, but the point is Narad Muni points out to Pachetas that it's still a waste of time. It's still useless. Unless it's engaged for the pleasure of the Lord. So then to engage it in the pleasure of the Lord, that means I have to put myself in the feminine position and Krishna in the masculine position. And then to do that, I have to work with the other feminine aspect, which is Krishna's energy, is knowledge. Right? So then that knowledge has a nature. So then I have to recognize what is the knowledge, I mean the nature of knowledge, and I have to cooperate with that. Otherwise, the female natures don't cooperate. Right? You have to know who the other person is and how they function and then work with that as a relationship. So that means the first principle of knowledge or the symptom of knowledge is humility. So if you don't have humility, you actually can't use knowledge. Right? You may use, but the effects you'll get won't be what you want. There'll always be a problem. So if that mood of humility is there, then the mechanics go properly, the goal will go properly. So that means then the humility, that means it's still with attitude. Right? So that aspect of attitude then we see becomes very important. So that's theirs. They don't have the mercy. Just as an example, in the pastime, how were the smartas in Shantipur doing in their relationship with the Dvaitacharya? Right? Not good at all, right? Because they were too proud of their knowledge and that. They didn't understand actually what their knowledge is for, which a Dvaitacharya knows. So that's him as Acharya, they weren't understanding and appreciating that. Right? So therefore then they wouldn't deal properly with him. But being Acharya, he would establish what's proper. So having all this knowledge but not seeing it in relationship to the Lord, then fun, isn't it? So not seeing the relation with the Lord, therefore he had to establish that by that pastime of giving the Shraddhapatra to Haridas Thakur, who was using all his understanding and knowledge in that in the service of the Lord. Does that make sense? So that's then he's trying to show it's the attitude that's actually the point. You know, having the knowledge and all those different things, because as Jnana Shakti, you do have that knowledge. The Kriya is going to, the activity is going to be based on that knowledge. But it's not just the knowledge itself, more important is the attitude. Because if you have knowledge but wrong attitude, you can't use it. But if you have the knowledge and the right attitude, therefore we see as Lord Chaitanya studies under Advaitacharya. Right, he's where he learns all the technical things from, right? All the different branches of the Vedic knowledge, and that he learns from Advaitacharya. So, but it's the attitude that's the real thing. Having gained that, so we even see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he's basically known as a scholar until he goes to Gaya, and after coming back from Gaya, then seeing Krishna, and then how you say, having the pastime of invoking or beginning the stages of love of God, then after that, then we see is then how Lord Chaitanya preaches is quite different. He has the same knowledge and all that, but now the goal of the knowledge is not scholarship. But the goal of the knowledge is that developing love for Krishna. Right? So that's then the thing to gain is there, is that you have knowledge. You have to have the right attitude, which is humility, and understand that knowledge is Krishna's energy. So therefore, I should use knowledge to please Krishna. How do I use the knowledge in practical application through the skills to get results that are pleasing to Krishna? If you have that, then being a scholar is a great advantage. And if you don't have that, then being a scholar is just, you know, as far as common people go, then it's nice. You know, you're respectable because of your knowledge. But as far as getting out of the material world, you're kind of in the same place, right, as everybody else. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you. So is it correct to say that by the degree that a person is able to cooperate with others to please Krishna through the performance of devotional service, by that degree of cooperation, we can actually see whether their knowledge is utilized with the proper attitude and proper humility?
Yes, I would say that that's a very good symptom. Because it's always important to be able to understand symptoms, you know, so that we know if the actual primary aspect is there. Because the primary is the most subtle. Because the primary is the consciousness to please Krishna, in our case. So we're going to use particular skills to do that. So then these kind of things are ways, and then the attitude. So the skill is the only thing that you can see, right? The attitude and the actual experience you can't see. It means there's symptoms. If you know how to read it, you can. But it's not that it's the obvious one. So therefore, when we see someone is acting with skill, but with humility and cooperation, then you can say is this person actually has knowledge. They're realized in their knowledge. Someone else may have knowledge, but they don't have the realization. Therefore, they can't do. Just like, let's say, just for example, give the example a lot. San Francisco in the early 70s, then Rathayatra time. Now, you had a temple president there who was actually in charge of the whole thing, the temple, the whole festival, building all the carts, the running of the festival, accommodating the hundreds of devotees that would show up, seeing that the prasad arrangement, everything was perfect. But that person would be there for everything. So you could see the realization. So even the brahmacharis are taking a shower. He's there coaching how to take a shower quickly because there's so many brahmacharis. You want to get to Mangalarti, there's only so much water. And he's there personally coaching that. He's there everything on. So you could say, well, he's in charge, but that's the point is you could see from there the humility that's there. And how he deals with everyone is so perfect. I don't think anybody can ever say that they have had an occasion that wasn't pleasant working with Jayananda. And he got so much done. Right? Now here's doing, and this is not a small Rathayatra. This is a big Rathayatra. This isn't, you know, you sat there and made a few phone calls and, you know, made some arrangement with the money and then somebody else trucks the carts in and sets them all up and runs it for you. This is, he built the carts himself personally, inspires others to be there and do. And so everybody, it's such a festival, people drive from all over America just to attend that Rathayatra. Right? You don't hear of everyone driving everywhere else for all the other Rathayatras, but that one, all the other temples would drive to San Francisco for. Right? So that is an example of what you're talking about, where you can see the symptom of the humility and cooperation and the perfect efficiency of the, technique. So in other words, the Kriya Shakti is being perfectly applied, but why it's so wonderful is because the Jnana Shakti is perfectly in place and the Icha Shakti is just to please the Lord. So that's, like you said, that's the symptom that you tell. But otherwise, if you see is that efficiently things are technically they're correct, but nobody's satisfied with the unfolding of the events, that means there's something wrong in the attitude, understanding the attitude of the Jnana Shakti, or in the goal, Icha Shakti. So that's the difficulty. If we simply work on the modern thing of professionalism, it's not enough. Because we have to know is that when you go to yoga studios, who's in the yoga studios? It's the professionals. right? Because they are efficient in the mechanics of the world, and they're good at it, but they're not satisfied. They're looking for more. And so just giving some asans and that is not enough. What they want to know is what's the attitude, what's the goal. Then they continue with that professional effort. But now it has a complete package. Then they know what's going. So just giving yoga is just more technique. It's just a technique that, you know, brings some peace so that you don't go crazy, you know, applying your professional technique in the economic field. But it doesn't give an answer. The real answer is then what's the attitude, what's the goal? Does that make sense? Then it's complete. That's why the modern is always will shortchange you. Does that work? Yeah, okay, thank you. Yes. Mike over that way. Mike is here now.
Maharaj.
Oh, next in line. Yes.
You were explaining about the three Prabhus, right, and how there is the exchange of rasa. That was very wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
And then we have Bhakti Shakti. That's kind of clear. Can you explain what is the component of Jiva Shakti, Shivastak or Bhaktak Yaman? What element is he? We're the Jiva Shakti. We're worshipping. So why is Jiva Shakti included in the Panchatattva?
Why is Jiva included in the Panchatattva? Because Panchatattva is the complete manifestation of the personality of Godhead. So therefore you have the three aspects that we discussed, the three Prabhus, but then you also have his energy, right? Because if you have energetic, you have to have energy. They're non-different. So then in energy, then you're going to have his internal potency, the Surup Shakti. Then you're going to have the jivas, which are then an expansion of there. So you have the Vishnu Tattva and its expansions, and then you have the Shakti Tattva and its expansion. So then with that, it's complete. Because without the jiva being there, then you don't have the complete representative of the Lord.
So that's about tattva. What about rasa? I mean, we're offering the devotion. So what element in terms of rasa is Shiva's Thakur and the Jiva Shakti playing in the Panchatattva?
Oh, okay. They add the embellishments. You know, it's just like, let's say I have a first class meal, okay? So the meal is the meal, and it will give a certain taste. And so that's the actual point of, let's say, sitting down and eating is the meal. But now I can embellish that meal by the environment, all the things connected with that meal. What is the environment in which I serve the meal? You know, they say like the lights or music or what kind of utensils I use, what kind of serving, what kind of moods are there, interactiveness, all the little subtle things. Like I have the meal, it's nice, but if I add in some lemon or some, you know, give some salt or some chili or other things like that, some achar, it adds to it. It's not the meal. I can't just show up with this really nice arrangement and some salt, lemon, and chili and achar and no meal like that. So the jivas are that which add to, like that. So the Sarup Shakti is the full experience of the Lord, and it's complete in itself, but then we can add to that in some small ways. As Krishna is explaining to Radharani, that it's the happiness Radharani gives Krishna is like the happiness of Mount Meru. And every other living entity, their interaction with Krishna is like a mustard seed. Right? So that's why then the principle of servant of the servant is there. Because the servant, that gives the main thing, but then the servant of the servant then can add. So if we try to just directly approach the Lord, then we're pleasing Krishna on the volume of a mustard seed. But if we approach as the servant of the servant, then it's Mount Meru plus a mustard seed. Right? And so then you add in unlimited mustard seeds and it expands. So you could also take this, that would be the natural position, because the Dvaitacharya is the servant of the servant. Right? So then just as you have Nityananda Prabhu is the servant of Lord Chaitanya, and you have Gadadhar as the servant of Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Nityananda's expansion or servant of the servant is the Dvaitacharya, and Gadadhar's servant of the servant is Srivas. So naturally, Srivas is the jiva's, you know, how you say, equivalent, you know, as the Dvaitacharya is in the, you know, in other words, the jiva in Shakti Tattva as the Dvaitacharya is in Vishnu Tattva. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes.
And then is that, as opposed to the modern idea, that we have the idea that skills will create the result, but they always produce an inferior result if the attitude isn't there.
Yes.
However, if the attitude is proper, then doesn't that give rise to the impetus of wanting to develop the skills and make things expert, daksha?
Yes, of course.
So then you have one added aspect to deal with, and that's capacity.
Yes.
So one can only develop one's skills based on a proper attitude if the capacity is there. So how to deal with the limitations of capacity in the material world?
The thing is that limitations of capacity aren't a problem, because for Krishna it's about engaging yourself fully, body, mind, and words, in Krishna's service. So whatever your body, whatever your mind, whatever your words are, that's all you have. But the point is them being fully engaged with the proper attitude, that's what will please Krishna. So volume is not. That's also a thing. That's one of the, how you say, the effects of the Ionians, you know, that they offered to the modern world, is that this point of relativity, in that it's all about volume. Because previously to the Ionians, it was always about the standards of the quality of something. You know, how much it was according to the tradition and standards, what was the attitude, this and that. But the Ionians, they relativized this. That, no, but if you have more people that are involved in it, that's a better quality of than something who has less people involved. You know, therefore, Socrates has a few followers, and the sophists have tons of followers. And so the sophists win. Right? So we see is that there's a shift from the focus on the Brahminical standards and the Kshatriya standards of protection of the people to the Vaishya and Shudra standards of volume. More money, more people. So that's like from 2,500 years ago. Right? So that has been a major influence from then. And we see that Socrates was that kind of point at which it switched. So, because before that, if you know, Socrates had been born 500 years before, he would have been a great guy and nobody would have killed him. But because of the time when he's there, the Ionians already brought out this kind of stuff. It relativizes everything, and so therefore he's not as popular, because it's not about volume for sense gratification, mass. So that's why you see the modern, these days, works on that. So that will make it seem like, well, I can only do a small amount, that's bad. But for we see in the pastimes of Ramachandra is that you have Hanuman and the monkeys moving mountaintops, and that pleases the Lord because that's their capacity. They can move mountains, means literally. And then the squirrel and the spider, they can only kick a little bit of dust. So that's their full capacity. They're pleasing Lord Ramachandra just as much. So volume is not what's there. Modern tries to make it that it's volume, but it's not there. You can only sometimes refer to volume if someone's getting proud. Right? In other words, they're producing a certain amount of volume and they're proud. You can point out that volume compared to another volume and try to put things in perspective. But it's not about the volume, it's about the attitude. So once the perspective isn't there, then you don't bring up volume anymore. They're saying, so volume is not actually the important thing. Right? But according to capacity, then one should be working at full capacity. So if one can do more, one should. And if one can do less, one should be doing whatever is at fullness. It doesn't matter.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Your neighbor. Okay, yes?
Could you say something about Advaitacharya, whose role, how the living entity can extricate themselves again or get extricated?
get liberated from the material world? Because it seems that he's a very crucial personality in how we got here through this glance of Sada Shiva.
Yes.
And what is his role in our
journey? Well, you see, is that if you go back to what you just mentioned there, that key is that point you mentioned, that we are in the material world through his glance. So that glance is actually the false identity, right? The time factor comes and false identity comes. So then the living entity is injected in the material world, and that glance, the false ego and time, that's actually what affects creation. Because then that's what makes the pradhan break up into the 24 elements. And that's by you taking the one element, let's say you take ether, then you add again false ego with the influence of time, then you'll get air. You add false ego and time again, you'll get we already got air, so fire. Then again you get water, again you get... So earth is the grossest, means the maximum amount of false ego is there. Right? You know, people aren't generally let's say someone is able to breathe, you know, let's say do their running and they can breathe at a very slow capacity, right? Keep their heart rate low, you know, very deep, and they can do very good, and because of that their skill is quite well. But the pride will be in the physical aspect of the big lungs, you know, the slow heartbeat, stuff like that. It won't be in the ability to control the life air, because it's subtler, there's less false ego in it. You understand? So it'll always be in the grossest. So the whole point is then getting out of here means you have to reverse that by giving up false ego. If you give up false ego, then technically there is no material creation. It means you're functioning within the external energy, but you're not controlled by it. So actually you're liberated when you give up false ego. So then by his grace, if you give up that attitude, I'm the controller and enjoyer, you give up the actual, Karana Sharir, the causal, because there's four aspects of false ego. So there's the false ego based on the body and the identity. The false ego based on the mind and body, senses. The body and the ego, the senses and the intelligence, and then the mind. Right. So they have Taijasa, Tamasa, and Vaikarika, like that, these three kinds. But then those are only the manifestation specific that we have now. That's all based on the Karana Shariras, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So when we give that up, then we're actually not in the material world anymore. Right? And that means then we have to be able to function in knowledge to do that, which means in the present. Right? So in the present, then we have... that means that we're working on eternal time, because we're working on just what to do now for Krishna. We're not working in the future or the past. It doesn't mean we don't make plans, but it's only a concept of future, because the plan is about Krishna. We're applying it about Krishna. We're looking at examples in the past about Krishna to properly apply. So then we're working with eternal time, not with the influence that time has over the modes of nature that control us. So if we can give up that false ego, we actually get beyond, you know, what keeps us here. Does that make sense? That's by Advaitacharya's grace. Because he is Sada Shiva. So by his grace, one can give up that false ego, have the attitude of seeing as the servant of the Lord, desiring that pure devotion. Then if one focuses on that, by Nityananda Prabhu's grace, that will move forward. And Lord Chaitanya then will bless one with love of God. Does that work? Okay, thank you. Okay. Yes.
Maharaj, you mentioned that taste is in what one does with the result.
Yes.
But we see that we are desiring to achieve taste in the holy name, which seems to be the process. Could you please explain?
The holy name is the process and the result. That's the thing. That's the interesting thing about the bhakti, is that everything's interchangeable. Right? The other things, material world, everything has its fixed place. But devotional service, that is the identity. I am the servant of the Lord, a servant of the holy name. I practice by chanting the holy name. The goal is the holy name. So the holy name is everything. So that's the uniqueness is there. Does that make sense? So, yeah. I guess we'll end here. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Yavidhi Guru, Jai Advaita Charya ji ki, Jai.